everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, it was raining and it was kind of misty, and we're thinking, you know, hey, they've revised the forecast, 30 degrees for the low. So we went out there last night and covered some of the plants. I'm glad we did, because there was pretty good frost on the pumpkin this morning.
Well, they're predicting 29 for early tomorrow morning.
So I guess we'll just keep the cloths on the fruit.
But that should be the last time, at least for the foreseeable future, because we're looking at a gradual warm-up over the weekend. And how about 80 degrees by Wednesday?
Yeah, and I saw like 86 maybe Thursday. So here we go. It's Buckmaster Thursday, February 24th, 2022, in our 11th year on the radio here, and 34 years now in television and radio, in this television and radio market, Tucson. Buckmaster Show broadcasting from the Green Things Zilcalo Village Studio, our radio station 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Phantom Space Corporation is Tucson's newest small rocket startup, actually about 2 years old now, and they're already expanding into a new space era that is upon us, with plans for its first orbital flight by 2023. Phantom Space Corporation was founded by SpaceX veteran Jim Cantrell. Jim is with us in studio. Hey, Jim, good to see you.
Always good to see you, Bill.
Your last Tucson-based rocket startup venture was called Vector. You tried a proprietary rocket engine technology that failed in 2019 when a major investor withdrew. You were an early member of Mr. Musk's SpaceX team.
Yep.
And my goodness, you've got an incredible resume. The new company you're hoping will become the Henry Ford of the space industry by using mainly off-the-shelf components to mass-produce rockets and space vehicles. And because of what's going on in the geopolitical scene today, with the first time we have seen this kind of a war in many generations, actually, many decades, what's going on in the Ukraine. I do want to point out that not only do you speak four languages, but you've spent time in France and in Russia.
Yep.
Back in the late 80s and early 90s. You were working there. There was a time when the U.S. and Russia, after the wall fell, worked on defense programs together.
Yeah, we worked cooperative strategic defense and early warning systems. It's kind of hard to realize today that,
yeah,
you know, that's where we were back in the early 90s when Yeltsin was in power.
And what's your take on what you're seeing right now with the war in the Ukraine?
Yeah, so, you know, the history between Ukraine and Russia is long and complicated. And really, you have to think of Ukraine as sort of Eastern Ukraine and Western Ukraine. Eastern Ukraine is ethnic Russian, largely,
mm-hmm,
and Western Ukraine is not. And
that area toward Poland,
correct,
and that border, and Romania.
Correct. Yeah. And when the Nazis walked in World War II, they were greeted as liberators from the Soviets.
Uh-huh.
And there was a tremendous amount of retribution on Stalin's part. So the Russians don't forget stuff like that. Even today, it seems for us a long time ago, but for them, it's not. And so there, you know, one theory is that this is payback time, right? The Ukrainians broke off from the Soviet Union when the Soviet Union was weak.
Mm-hmm.
And this is payback. And they consider this a real part of the Russian Empire, which is really, I think, Putin's bigger goal is to reestablish the Russian Empire. The other one is, you know, what's the strategic the global interest of having Ukraine. The Russians already have established a warm water port in the Black Sea when they gobbled up Crimea. So, you know, my money's on the payback.
Mm-hmm.
As strange as that sounds, you know, it seems like that's the only thing that makes sense.
Let's talk about your company. You had a big home run with Phantom. Couple of companies, and you're kind of really, there's about four major players that NASA has awarded some contracts. What's that all about?
Yeah, so we won a NASA contract as a launch supplier to NASA for NASA missions, and we'll be flying their satellites over the next, you know, 4 to 6 years. And yeah, we're winners alongside of SpaceX, Blue Origin, Rocket Lab and Virgin Orbit. And so, you know, being a two-year-old company, it's pretty amazing we managed to get in there because NASA's a very picky customer. And I can tell you they spent a lot of time looking over our design and where we're at in terms of progress. And they liked what they saw, and they gave us a contract. So it's a huge, huge win for us.
If I was riding up the elevator with you, give me the elevator pitch about Phantom, would you please?
Sure.
And my listeners, give me, if somebody's, you run into somebody, maybe they're even a big time investor and you're in an elevator and you're talking about Phantom, what would you tell them?
Yeah, so I would tell them that we want to be the Henry Ford of space by applying mass production techniques and technology to the world of space. And so we're more than just a rocket company. We build rockets. We're also building satellites. We have 300 contract, and ultimately we're a space applications company, and we're building these capabilities so that we can integrate the markets and build things like Starlink that we ourselves finance and own and operate.
And we have you have employees right here in Tucson, so this is a Tucson-based company.
Yep.
Tell me about where you are in the process right now.
Yeah, we're 100% Tucson-based. We have a couple of employees in Florida at Cape Canaveral where we'll start operations. But right now we've been in business 2 years, and we've raised about $40 million so far. We've gotten to this point where we're actually hot firing our second stage. So we have our flight article that we're taking out to New Mexico here in about a month, and we're going to do the full stage testing to see, you know, simulate how it would operate in space. And we've done that after 2 years. Normally, that's after 5 or 6 or 7 years in most companies. And we've been able to jumpstart that. Number one, we learned a lot of lessons from Vector, right? We know
that was my next question. What did you learn from Vector?
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
A lot of potholes not to step in. We also went out and found vendors for the engines, which were, you know, sort of the biggest risk item, and some of the avionics we licensed from NASA and so on. So We've made very, very quick progress.
Who would your clients be typically?
So obviously NASA is one of them.
Okay.
The U.S. Department of Defense is another one. We're working on items for them, and but mostly commercial. Probably at least half, if not two thirds, of our business will be in the commercial arena.
And then the commercial for the 5G and all that stuff, or what, or is that?
Well,
not
so,
in the equation.
Yeah, it just depends on you know, who's looking to launch their satellites, and most of that is communication satellites. So I call it moving bits around the Earth, and that's about two thirds of the commercial space business, and the other third is roughly you know, taking images and other measurements, remote measurements of the Earth, and either using them to predict Russian troop movements or weather. There's a lot of weather constellations going up as well.
It's a risky business, and one of the risks is our old friend the sun.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah, and that there was a problem recently concerning a solar storm.
Yeah, so SpaceX launched a group of their satellites to the Skylink constellation. And the way they do it is they launch them very, very low in the atmosphere. So they're still in the atmosphere when they're even up 200 kilometers, but they only stay there for maybe 3 or 4 days. And because of solar activity, SpaceX couldn't command their satellites to move themselves up in altitude to get out of the atmosphere. And they came back as shooting stars burned up in the atmosphere.
So what happens? Like, does Lloyd's of London or somebody have insurance on all those kinds of? I don't know how many came back like shooting stars, but I can imagine it was a huge loss financially.
Right. Yeah, sure was. Yeah, so you know, I would guess about $100-150 million loss on that single launch. If you look at what the government does, they self insure. You know,
yeah.
So most governments do. Mm-hmm. The commercial, there's a whole insurance industry out there. So, you know, the launches themselves are insured, and then the spacecraft themselves are insured, two separate policies generally. So the operator will generally pay 5 or 10% of the insured amount to insure their spacecraft that it gets there and it operates.
All right, we're speaking, and we'll continue our conversation with Phantom Space Corporation, the CEO and the founder of Phantom, based here in Tucson with nearly 40 employees. Jim Cantrell, our conversation will continue. But right now, Jim, I want to tell everybody about my favorite bakery in town. And, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, I like a little comfort food, don't you?
Always good.
Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch. I had an amazing tuna melt up there at Mona's on Sunday. Yes, I still love the old tuna melt. Very traditional. They're open at breakfast 6:30 in the morning, and as I say, they're doing lunch right now. So stop by Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. When we continue with Jim Cantrell, what are we going to do about all that space junk that is up there? We'll be right back with Jim. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's always a pleasure to welcome Jim Cantrell to our program. Jim's latest venture, he's 2 years into it. It's based in Tucson. It's called Phantom Space Corporation. And really, as Jim was pointing out, the whole goal of Phantom, with nearly 40 employees right here in Tucson, is to become what Jim likes to call the Henry Ford of the space industry by using mainly off-the-shelf components to mass-produce rockets and space vehicles. Jim, is that definitely the way of the future?
Well, I think so. It seems
future is here.
The future is here. Yeah. It's a frontier economy, space is, and to me it reminds me of what the New World was 500 years ago, and none of us back then could imagine what it would become today and how much value would be created in this part of the Earth. And in the same sense, in space, none of us can really imagine, you know, how that is going to turn out and how much value is going to be created there either.
So we're putting a lot of objects up into space, and I know space is space. It's huge, right? But we are accumulating a lot of space junk, aren't we?
Yep.
Are you worried about it?
Personally, it doesn't worry me for a number of reasons, but I think it is a problem that requires addressing. We are starting to have collisions in space, which is a problem. You know, one thing to realize is last year we launched almost as many satellites as we had in the prior 50 years. So that's not going to slow down. What it's important to understand is there are various parts of space where the atmosphere is dominant, where the atmosphere isn't dominant. You might think, you know, up at the space station, they're up in space, there's no atmosphere. That's not true. The atmosphere, depending on the solar activity, goes up pretty high and well into the space station. So there's always drag on these objects up there at that altitude. And given a reasonable amount of time, you know, most of these things will come back in 2 or 3 years and turn into shooting stars and burn up in the atmosphere, no harm, no foul. But if you go up very high, then the lifetime tends to be 100 years. And those are the ones you worry about. So the problem really becomes these large SpaceX rockets launching 100 of these satellites into these orbits that are very high and populated with these very expensive satellites that are going to be there for 100 years. And one man's satellite's another man's debris. And the real solution to this is probably an insurance requirement on satellite operators, much like you have on third-party insurance liability on the open ocean. Mm-hmm. And I was working with Secretary of Commerce Ross a number of years ago on a U.S. policy to put that in place for U.S. satellite operators. That'll force people to think about, you know, the where they put things, how long it's going to be up there, and the actuarials can reflect what the real risks are.
Now, are your products reusable?
Not right up front, but they will be, you know.
How will that work?
Well, pretty much like SpaceX does, we'll fly the boosters back to the launch site. So our launch sites are in California and Florida and Alaska. And
do you rent like space on a launch site? How does that work?
So this is some of the most scarce real estate in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So we got an old NASA pad out at Vandenberg.
Really?
And, yeah, we worked out a lease with the U.S. Space Force. And it's up to us to build all the launch facilities and so on. No lease there. You know, we have a lease, but it's not a particularly expensive thing. But we do have to deal with all the environmental requirements, which is, you know, very costly. So that's what we're doing there. We're trying to do the same thing at Cape Canaveral. That's getting very popular. So we may have to share our site out there with others, have a multi-user site. And then Alaska is a commercial site, and they do charge, you know, per launch, they charge a fee for the pad.
Where is that in Alaska? Kodiak Island?
Kodiak Island, right.
Ah. And it's a privately owned facility?
State of Alaska owns it.
Yeah. So, you know, getting back to the space junk, and there had been some talk about maybe a space treaty of some kind was necessary, but boy, with the way the geopolitical situation is right now, good luck trying to get Russia and China and everybody together on that.
Yeah. China is putting up more stuff in space than anybody else except for the United States. So So any solution that you have to space debris has to include China. I mean, they very egregiously blew up a satellite in 2007 and created a humongous amount of debris. The Russians have recently done that and not succeeded and still created debris. The Indians have done it. We did it back in 85. It's not good to do that, period. I mean, that's the kind of treaty that probably could manage to happen. The commercial side, really, it's got to be an economic solution. It's got to be something based in real risk so that people can make those risk choices and pay the amount of money associated with those risks. And that will work itself out, is my conclusion.
Russia did one of these anti-satellite tests, I believe, at the close of last year, and it was a total disaster. And as you pointed out, China did one in 2007, India in 2019. We did one way back in 1985. What was the thinking, or is the thinking? Is this to kind of like be to destroy other countries' satellites, Jim Cantrell?
Yeah, so that's exactly it. So if you look at the Gulf Wars that the U.S. fought, we had an asymmetric advantage due to our space capabilities that either guided our weapons or guided our airplanes or had intelligence that gave our commanders knowledge of where the other troops were. It was a huge, huge, huge advantage. So any force that's going to look to take us on or anybody else on that's got a space capability is going to want to take that out or at least threaten it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, you know, to demonstrate that you can actually take it out for people to take you seriously. It's like a nuclear weapon. But on the other hand, you know, the threat of doing it is enough to concern people. The real problem is, at least in war games in the United States, when we've simulated these kinds of attacks, if we can't 100% attribute them to a certain adversary, then it's very unlikely anybody will react to it. So the right solution to all this is kind of like MAD, what we had during the Cold War, the mutually assured destruction. So if we can rapidly replace these assets, the motivation and the benefit from knocking them out, and then the risk associated with the retaliation that comes from that, is going to take this off the table. And so that's one of the things at Phantom that we actually are doing is we're creating a launch capability that can rapidly reconstitute space assets. So it's one of the areas we work with the military on and believe in very, very thoroughly.
You know, you were kind of at the forefront when you were over there working with the, the Cold War was ending. And you were there in the early 90s in Russia working on a joint U.S.-Russian program. Does this feel like Cold War number two? To a lot of people, it does. Today feels like we are now back into the Cold War. Does that feel like that to you?
Not to me. I sometimes jokingly tell my friends I wish for the Cold War again because we knew exactly who our enemies were.
Mm-hmm.
But this world is not a bipolar world anymore. It's a multipolar world of power. We've got China, we've got Russia, we've got the Europeans, we've got other budding world powers.
Middle Eastern players.
Middle
like
Eastern
Iran.
Players. Yeah. The
and they've
Saudis.
Got their own space program, don't they?
Sure
they
do. Yeah. This is the reality of the future. It's a very complicated world.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Russia's stretching its muscles right now and, you know, really wanting to put its place back on the world stage is not for me what the Cold War was. The Cold War was this do-or-die thing. I mean, I'm an ardent anti-communist,
mm-hmm.
and I always will. I'll go to my deathbed being mm-hmm. an anti-communist. This doesn't feel like that at all. This just feels like an old enterprise.
Settling group. A grudge.
Yeah,
Putin
exactly.
Trying to put together, you know, his old Soviet Union. So what's next for Phantom? What do you hope to have accomplished a year from now?
Yeah, so a year from now we'll be on the launch pad. And we're literally that close. Our engines are completed. They're ready to go. We're, like I said, going to hot fire them in New Mexico here on the full stage. They've undergone 30,000 seconds of testing already.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot for a rocket engine. And then our full first stage, we're hoping to do that here in Tucson. We're working on a test site here, and that'll be sometime late this year. And our first launch hopefully is out of Florida. Mid next year.
Where does somebody get rocket motors?
Yeah, you could go to Ukraine. They have a lot of guys that build them over there.
Yeah.
But we work with a company out of Colorado. It's a bunch of former SpaceX guys who started a company called Ursa Major. And I knew them from my Vector days. And when we had engine troubles there, I was actually talking to them about using their engines. And they build the most beautiful little liquid rocket engines. They remind me of Ferraris. You know, they're just absolutely gorgeous pieces of work. So we made a deal with them to buy their production for the next 5 years. So they're a key supplier for us.
So they're like a contractor for you.
Yep. Yeah, I consider them much more than a contractor. We have
like
a very close
kind of
working
partnership.
It's a partnership, and we have a very close working relationship, their CEO and I.
And now you're off to do your hobby, which is cars. You love cars.
It's my life,
yeah. Yeah, you really love cars. I mean, racing cars and teaching others how to drive really incredible cars. You've got a car out front, and I won't say what model it is, but it's just when you drove up in that car, I'm going, oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. That's the most beautiful car I have seen on the streets of Tucson that you are driving. So, I mean, it's your passion.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what gets me up in the morning. It keeps me trying to make more money, and it's what I love. You know, and without that passion, without that love, you know, what good is life, really?
And good health to you.
Good health.
There you go. Jim Cantrell, always a pleasure catching up with you.
Pleasure.
All right, that's going to wrap up our first half of the program. Coming up next, our friend from JetBlue, Captain Jeff Lattice. Lots to talk about on the aviation scene with Jeff Lattice as we continue in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio for a Thursday. Coming up tomorrow, quick plug for our Friday Focus interview, Rio Nuevo board chair. A lot to talk about what's going on downtown. Fletcher McCusker will join me, and Jim Ninsel will be here from the Tucson Weekly. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands 1 and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and yes, it's going to be very warm next week. Yes, this is probably the last frost, freeze, keep our fingers crossed, of the year. And Green Things is now ready for your spring planting. They have a beautiful site over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. It's just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and it's 13 acres. Just about everything you could imagine for the garden and some beautiful furnishings for outside and inside from Zocalo Village, some beautiful merchandise. Much of it is handcrafted in Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. So come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. Their website, Zocalo Village, that's Z-O-C-A-L-O, ZocaloVillage.com, and GreenThingsAZ.com. 51st year of business for Green Things, and they are open daily. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome now our contributor on aviation, JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice. And Captain Lattice is a retired combat fighter pilot, experience in the F-15E, the F-111, and the T-38, highly decorated combat veteran. And Jeff is also very, he's very familiar, and he flies the Airbus A320 and the A321. And he is a consultant of Aero Consulting Experts. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. This is an incredible situation over in Europe. Scenes that a lot of people didn't think were going to be possible, or hopefully they never thought they would have to see again. Some of these scenes look like Berlin out of 1945. And I was just checking out FlightAware and some of the flight tracking websites. The airspace, Jeff, over the Ukraine and its border with Russia is empty. It's really an amazing picture, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think that if you recall a few years ago when there was the conflicts back in eastern Ukraine, Malaysian Air, I believe it was 17, was shot down by the Russian separatists on the east side of Ukraine. So there's good reason not to be overflying that portion of airspace.
You've been watching, as have I, what's been folding, and some of the scenes have really been unbelievable. That firefight that's going on and did go on at the main Air Force base outside of the capital between Russian paratroopers and Ukrainian forces, the firefight that went on, and now the Ukrainians have taken Chernobyl. There was a firefight other way around. The Russians have now taken Chernobyl. What are some of your thoughts, Jeff, as somebody that has been in combat, a lot of combat over in the Middle East? What are some of your thoughts today, please?
Well, you know, I see this as very parallel to what Iraq did when they invaded Kuwait. And as you know, there was a big world response against that as well. Problem is the Russians own nuclear weapons. And so there's not a whole lot we can do about it without the risk of, you know, escalating this to the ultimate warfare. I think the sanctions will probably have a lot of effect. And I also think that the Ukrainians, unlike the Kuwaitis, because Kuwait was such a small country, I think the Ukrainians are going to put up some resistance. More than likely, the Russians will occupy Ukraine. A lot of people look at Russia as a lot bigger militarily than what they really are. The Russian military is actually 3/4 of their military is involved in this operation right now, which is fairly significant. You know, you're only talking 150,000 Russian troops. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a bloody nose for the Russians. And from what I'm hearing as well with the Russian people, they're not all on board with this. There's already, I saw this morning, that there's been at least 50 Russian casualties. There's been more Russian casualties than Ukrainian casualties at this point, according to what I read. It was just a brief little article, because obviously we don't know everything, because it's still fairly early. But, this looks a lot like Kuwait. It looks a lot like Poland back in 1938, you know, with the Germans. We're seeing very similar patterns that we've seen in history.
I know, and it's amazing. This was a quote, I think, worth sharing. The NATO secretary, Stoltenberg, saying peace on our continent has been shattered. We now have war in Europe on a scale and of a type we thought belonged to history. So what we are seeing today really is history in the making. The Russian military said that they hit on they consider this day one, and of course now it is night over there, nightfall. They consider it a very successful day. They hit, they said, every target that they wanted to destroy, and I believe they destroyed 89 targets in the Ukraine. Now that was just day one. But you bring up something very important, Jeff, about what's going on at home in Russia and in St. Petersburg, where at least 700 people were arrested in an anti-war demonstration. So the sentiment at home, I think this caught, believe it or not, a lot of the Russian people by surprise. I don't think that they thought Putin would go this far.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to go that far until just recently. I thought that maybe he might want to pursue peace by, incorporating those two provinces or states or whatever they call them there in Ukraine, on the eastern side of Ukraine, and maybe open some kind of land bridge down to Crimea. That might be, something they wanted to negotiate by threatening. But now it looks like they want to overthrow the current government and in place their own puppet government.
We're speaking with JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattis. Jeff, American Airlines says they're confident that the 5G issue has been resolved between the aviation industry and the telecom corporations, AT&T and Verizon. What are you hearing? Is this still a big issue in your industry, or is it now under the carpet?
I won't say it's completely under the carpet, because there are still some restrictions that I'm seeing out there. In particular, I just read, this happened earlier in the month, that the 737 MAX has had additional restrictions applied to them on runway length. And you might kind of go, well, runway length, how does that and all this?
What is the deal there?
Just to kind of explain how 5G interferes with the aircraft at the basic level, 5G operates at a frequency that's just right below what our radio or radar altimeters operate at. There was speculation that there could be some interference with our radio or radar altimeters. When you're in low visibility weather, we rely on that system almost 100%, because we can't see the runway until the very last second, literally, in some cases. And in my airplane and many other airplanes, they have a an auto landing system, i.e. the airplane lands by itself.
Wow.
And we monitor that. It's because our reaction is slower than what the airplane can react at. If those radar altimeters are interfered with, it could cause the airplane to prematurely flare on its own and through this automated system, or not flare at all. You know, it'd get bad information as far as what, how high it is above the ground. And obviously in both those cases, it can be very severe.
Yeah.
You're going to have a hard landing essentially. If the pilots catch that and the airplane still settles down, it also affects the auto thrust, because the auto thrust is also part of that system. And it could add thrust at the exact wrong time. You don't want to add thrust.
Yeah.
Like right when you touch down. So therefore, they put restrictions on runway length for at least the 737 maxes. Why the max only? I'm not 100% sure. I don't know what, if it has a different altimeter, radio altimeter, or if it's, you know, I unfortunately don't know. I tried to find out and I couldn't.
Yeah. Well, at least it's somewhat settled down, is what I'm hearing you say. The issue hasn't gone away completely, but
it hasn't gone away completely. Now, the agreement that the FAA and the FCC have come to is that within 2 miles of an airport, there'll be significantly less 5G application out there. 5G is a very short distance system. Same thing with our radar altimeters. Mine only works from about 2,500 feet lower. So they're kind of low power per se in both systems. So I think just by tuning it down a little bit, it helps. And definitely, you know, if we see a problem, we have to report it. A lot of people also wonder, well, you know, Europe's been doing this for years now. It's a different frequency that they use for 5G.
Oh.
A little bit lower in the bandwidth. The United States uses a little bit higher bandwidth, and it butts right up against the frequencies that we use in aviation.
All right, Jeff, stick around. I want to talk some more about what's going on in the industry, including mandatory retirement age. Wonder if that's going to change as we need more pilots down the road here. We'll take a break. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the Golden Standard for Cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Just looking at our great sponsor, Silver City's weather. It's going to be almost pushing 90 here next week, mid-80s. Silver City looks really nice, around 70 degrees, a great time for outdoor activities. Only a three-hour drive over to that beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Pile in the car, hop in the truck, and take a nice road trip. For more on things to do, like hiking the Gila National Wilderness and where to stay, and there's some great places, visit southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with our conversation with JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice, our contributor on aviation here on the Buckmaster Show, and a friend of yours, Jeff, a captain, recently had to retire. It's mandatory at 65, and that was quite an interesting flight. I think the captain and his son, who also works for your company, was the first officer, and it was his last flight with JetBlue.
Yeah, that would be Guy House. He and I are both out at LAX. It's our base. So I see Guy. I used to see Guy anyway, occasionally. Nice guy. He's actually a South African.
Wow.
Originally was from South Africa. And, it's kind of sad to see him go because he's one of the good ones.
Are they going to need to change that, do you think? I mean, that's an old regulation, that 65 mandatory retirement.
It's not as old as you think.
Huh.
It's only about 10, 15 years old. I can't remember exactly when they changed it. It used to be 60. When I started at JetBlue, I figured I would be retired by now. I'm 64.
Wow.
And, but that all changed a few years ago, a dozen years ago or so, to 65. There are some European countries that do go to 67. And given the pilot shortage that we're really starting to see now, we're in the depths of that now in some of the airlines, the pressure could be on to increase that age. United right now is deeply in debt of pilots.
Mm-hmm.
Same with American, Delta. We're all the companies are running into it's kind of a retirement problem. We call it a retirement wave. And I saw that in the next 10 years, and I can't remember if it was United or American, but half the pilots would be retired.
Wow.
So that creates a huge problem. It's a great news for a young aviator getting into the business. But it's bad news for the airlines themselves, the management, to manage this problem.
So you're looking at your last flight down the road here, not that far away.
Yeah, not too far away. About 10 months, actually.
Yeah, well.
I'll fly into January of 2023, and then I have to quit.
Well,
unless they change the age.
Yeah, well, that could happen, and for your sake, I hope they do. I think some of the Caribbean, some of those little puddle hoppers, if you ever still wanted to fly commercially, I think their age requirement is 70, so there are some places, Jeff, you could still go down and fly with maybe one of the small carriers down there if you want to enjoy the West Indies.
Professionally speaking, pilots can continue to fly professionally past 65.
Mm-hmm.
The problem or the restriction is actually in what we call 121 operations, which is airline operations. So, you know, we can't do airline ops. We can do charter. We can do corporate. You know, there's other types of commercial aviation we can do. But if it falls under the 121 FARs, the Federal Aviation Regulations, then 65 is the limit.
How about cargo?
Most cargo falls under 121.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Even though you're not hauling passengers?
It's called scheduled airline. So, you know, I don't fully understand. I don't make the rules.
No, you don't. And that's what I'm sure you tell some of your passengers who come on without a mask, and that's still going on. And a lot of the airlines say now we need a no-fly list to ban these unruly passengers. I hope you haven't had any recently, have you?
No, actually, people have been behaving a lot better over the last few months. I think that the word finally got out that there is no tolerance for this. And most people, they're usually, I tell you the truth, in the last 3 or 4 months, I don't think I've had any issues with masks.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's getting better. And to kind of add on to that, I think you're going to be wearing masks probably into the spring. Originally, it looked like March was going to be the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to get pushed on out probably another month or two. But I think by summertime, we might not have to be wearing masks anymore.
Yeah, that was actually my next question for you, because that deadline, the current deadline is early March. So, but you're kind of hearing they'll expand that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of questioning on exactly how, because, you know, the country's going through, or the government is going through this evaluation of masks, and if they're really needed now that Omicron has declined like it has. So I think there's going to be a little bit of hesitancy, but I think that you'll probably see the mask mandate in airports and on airlines. Hopefully it'll be gone by summertime. Trust me, a lot of us employees would like to see it gone.
I bet it would eliminate a lot of problems for all of you. Did you get a chance to watch any of that, what they call big jet TV, and watching the landings at Heathrow last week? There's a very, very popular kind of a podcast called Big Jet TV, and they were showing the planes landing in the middle of one of the biggest windstorms ever in Heathrow, and it was just amazing. This guy gives commentary on how many times some of the big jets, Jeff, had to do a go-around. They just could not land in that weather.
Yeah, I don't understand why they tried more than twice.
And some did. Some
somewhere else.
Yeah, some went three times. And you're talking, and you're in the pilot language, heavies, the big jets, A380 tried to go around, and he finally made it on the third attempt. Wow.
Yeah, you know, we do have limitations on winds, but mostly it's crosswinds. I didn't see that video. I have seen many videos of, you know, airplanes landing in pretty horrendous winds.
Yeah.
But we were talking like 120 knot winds. I'm sure they weren't landing in those conditions. But, you know, once the winds get up there to 35, 40 knots, it gets to be quite a challenge.
Yes. All right, Jeff. I could talk aviation with you all day, but I got to wrap it up right here. I hope safe travels to you, and until next time, have a great afternoon. Thanks, Jeff.
Well, thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
Jeff Lattice, always fun talking with our JetBlue captain. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Hope you enjoyed our hour. We'll have Fletcher McCusker talking about what's going on with downtown. It's been at least 6 months since he was our guest, so a lot to catch up on tomorrow. On behalf of Jeff Lattice and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing, Bill Buckmaster saying, Dave Ramsey is next.